A couple minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. It's a Wednesday. We're kind of midweek. I'm going to give you something random today. How about the top 5 pets you can own?
Is that random?
Very random. Very okay, random. Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The hamster.
I hate the hamster.
You know why I like the hamster?
Ugh.
The accessories. How cool is it? It's the only pet you can own. You buy an exercise wheel, you watch him run on it. It's different.
Yeah, but think about if that hamster escapes and that was running around your house and all the little secrets it'll give you.
You forget what's running around my house? I mean, the hamster would be the least of my worries. Possums and everything else. Here we go.
Number 4.
The ferret.
Leave my ferrets alone.
Well, hold on. They're number 4 on the list, Tiki. That's good. When I was younger, my friend Sean had ferrets, stunk up the whole house. But now I see the barber ferrets getting walked on leashes, and I think to myself, what an evolution as
there
a pet.
There it is. Spaghetti and biscuit.
Spaghetti and biscuit. Here we go.
Number 3.
Number 3 is the cat.
The cat's number 3.
Huh? The best thing I could say about the cat, keeps rodents away. Big plus. But you know what? If you don't declaw those things, then it's trouble.
It's dangerous.
So that is a tough spot because declawing is like really mean.
I know.
And you shouldn't do it. But cats with the claws can, you know, rip up your house.
Yeah, who needs cat scratch fever?
Yeah, I had a cat. I had Freedom. She passed away many years ago. That was her name, Freedom. Very patriotic name. Mm-hmm. Oh. And I loved her. And I loved having a cat. And I had a cat named Sushi for a while, and I love Sushi.
How do you have a cat named Freedom and a dog named Dudley?
You want the answer to that?
Yes.
So I adopted...
Freedom. This country, it's amazing, especially on a day like today. And Dudley.
Okay.
Dudley probably looks like one of the Dudley boys.
I'll give you an answer. I adopted Freedom in 2003, and yes, it was a patriotic name. Every reason that you just gave, yes, I love Freedom. It's one of our great attributes in our great country, especially on a day like today, when we think about the people that fight for our freedom. So that's why I named it Freedom. As far as Dudley's concerned, that was respect. Mm. I adopted Dudley from North Shore Animal League out on Long Island. And when I adopted him as a baby, he had a name. And that name was Dudley. Mm. And I thought he looked like Dudley. I thought it was just such a perfect name. So I didn't name him, but I respected that that's what his name was. Now, I was going to change it. Like, and I will tell you what the name was if you care. But I had a name that I was ready to change.
Jake.
No, it was Ike.
For Ike Davis?
No, for Dwight Eisenhower.
Thank you.
Like assuming he'd name a dog after Ike Davis. Is that out of line?
He's a huge Eisenhower
fan. He's got a podcast named after Rico Bronya.
I liked Ike Davis. I was not naming my dog after Ike Davis, okay? Not all of us name our pets or kids after athletes, Sean.
Yeah, but by the way, Ranger, got him from North Shore Animal League, changed his name. Pango was out right away.
And I would have changed his name. The problem was he looked like a Dudley.
Okay.
If you ever met him, you'd say, you know what? That's fitting. So that's my answer.
What'd you do with Freedom when he passed?
What I do with Freedom?
Yeah.
I spread her ashes at Gettysburg.
Cremated?
Yeah.
No frying pan, though,
permission from Gettysburg?
I did not. I thought it was the right thing to do.
Just dumped.
I would not use the word dumped. I spread her ashes at a hallowed ground in American history.
What was the action that you used to spread her ashes? You turned the canister upside down and dumped it.
No. I actually put my hand in and spread it out.
Did you do this by yourself?
I was with my dear friend Patrick, and my man Patrick gave me a few minutes by myself. He knew what was going on. He thought it was the funniest thing ever, and he's a radio host, so he talked about it on his radio show for many years, and he left me some alone time, and I did it by myself in Gettysburg.
God bless Freedom. We miss her.
Thank you.
Number 2.
The fish comes in at number 2.
Fish?
You know why the fish is so high?
Short-lived?
Yeah. The fish, you never, never cry when they die.
Especially a beta fish.
Yeah.
But you get sucked up in the filter.
They mind their own business. You sprinkle a little food, and you're not emotionally attached. That's why it's a great pet.
Right.
All right, number 1.
All right.
Number 1.
It's the dog.
Yeah, of course.
The dog is a human.
Yeah. You know how the dog is a human? The dog is like a human.
It is. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I'm very close between dog and cat. I know like there's like this controversy. Am I a dog person? Am I a cat person?
Dog.
I love dogs and cats almost equally. I always say cats are like roommates, dogs are like children.
Dog,
they are.
That's how I would view it.
You didn't go with the chimp.
The chimp?
Yeah.
Is that even legal?
In Missouri, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that come up last night?
No, but it was what we watched after.
Oh, the thing on Max.
Chimp Crazy. Yeah, starring Tanya Haddix. We watched the first episode last night. Oh. Holy crap.
Wow. So is it like Tiger King with chimps?
It is the same director as Tiger King, and it's about this chimp farm in Missouri, I think it is.
Chimp farm.
And Alan Cummings is in it for some reason. And you find out later, because he's in a movie with one of these chimps, it's in this habitat.
Wow.
And when PETA gets it rated.
PETA? You mean PETA King?
No, PETA.
I'm sorry, that's a classic.
Gets it rated.
Yes.
They get all the chimps except for one. There's one chimp missing. And that's now we're going into episode 2.
Stop. So what is going on at this farm? A lot of monkey business?
Now, Sean, before you leave, there is a controversy around WFAN that needs to be addressed. So I will give you the background for everybody out there. Yesterday, our very own Sal Licata did something that was really selfless of him. Sal brought in...
Selfless.
Yeah, no, I'm complimenting Sal. There's no dig coming. Sal did something really cool. Sal brought in all like these magnet boards for all the professional sports teams. So magnet boards for every NFL team.
I didn't see that outside. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, so he then had someone around here put it up on the wall outside our studios. Get the hell out of here! Get out of here!
Let's go!
What'd you get for leaving his ass in there for another inning?
What did I just say?
Let me explain. The New York Mets were being no-hit in the ninth inning against the Blue Jays, down 1-0. And Francisco Lindor has broken up the no-hitter with a bomb of a home run off Bowden Francis. Mm-hmm. The game is tied at 1.
Who was pitching a no-hitter.
He was pitching.
Into the ninth inning. Yeah. They brought him out with 108 pitches. He threw, 106 pitches. He threw two, and then the 110th one went yard.
That's right. Now, I want to make something very, very clear. Keep it right here. All right, we will keep you posted throughout this, but it is now a 1-1 game, Mets-Blue Jays. Let me now finish my point.
Go ahead.
So Sal did this really cool thing. He brought in these magnet boards of all the professional sports teams. It was put up on the standings board. Like, so they did it in standings order. I kind of had fun with it. I moved the Nets above the Knicks. Like, it became fun. So it was up on the wall. This morning, apparently, because there's video of it, Boomer Esiason did not like it.
Why?
Now, I don't know really why he liked it.
He thought it was messy?
And so Giannotti, I guess at the... what's the word I'm looking for?
The behest?
At the behest of Boomer, because it didn't seem like Gio really cared about it very much. Gio took it all down.
Happy wife, happy life.
So, which, by the way, I actually kind of understand that. Like, I do that for Tiki, too. Tiki was, like, really upset about something.
Why did Boomer not like it? I don't understand. They had to have talked about why he hated it.
I did not hear that. I apologize. I was, and they'll get this, I was taking my kids to school. Oh, no, that's when they would listen by accident. Mm. I missed it this morning. I apologize. I usually listen to those guys. It was a crazy morning this morning. Mm. So Boomer had it removed. Okay. So I saw this, and I was like, boy, this is weird. Sal did something really nice. Boomer took it down. Sean Morash then went on social media and basically ripped Boomer in
the ass. I'm tired of it.
And said, Boomer, you do not run this place. Despite your great success, wealth, and history here, you can't take this down. I'm putting it back up.
Yeah.
So I saw this. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. I informed Sal. I said, Sal, you brought all this stuff in. It was torn down. Sean's coming to your defense. And Sal's like, great. Sean has still not put up all these magnet boards. So did you get bullied by Boomer Esiason?
First of all, I love two things can be true. I can love Boomer. I think he's a great guy. Enough. That is petty, acting like an old man yelling at the clouds.
But I don't understand why he didn't like it.
Well, because I think they said, oh, he thinks it looks cheap.
Extremely narpy.
We are all sports nerds here. You are not the only show that exists on this station. As successful as you are, sorry, Boomer. Us sports nerds love looking at these little standings boards. They were really cool, unique. It spiced up the newsroom. The problem is they didn't just stick there with tape. They were on hooks that are missing. So once I find those hooks, I'm putting them up, and I'm taking a stand for the rest of the daytime that wants these up. Boomer, you do enough around here. You have enough clout. Get lost. Deal with it. You walk past it three times a day. They're going back up. You don't own this station.
So you're going to put it back up?
Yes. As soon as I get the hooks, they're going up.
You are defiant.
And
he is not to touch them again.
Mm. I don't mind if he touches them again. And can I tell you why, Teak?
Tell him, Sean. Tell me
if you agree with me on this.
Go ahead.
I love that Sean's like doing this, so maybe Boomer will never touch it. I don't know. I kind of hope he does because I think it's better in this studio. Like,
I agree with you.
Who needs it outside? Like, see, the beauty of this studio is that we're on TV for a couple of hours on SNY, and I think it'd be cool for the audience to be able to see it, for it to be a part of the program.
Oh, great.
When it's outside in the hall.
Where are we putting it?
How about right over Craig Carton's signature where the Mike Francesa plaque
yeah,
used to be?
Yeah, we could put it right there.
We could do that, too. I think it spices it up. I think it's cool to look at those things.
I agree. I thought it was really cool. I don't understand why Boomer hated it, and I like that I'm going to put it back up. But I kind of prefer it here because this is our man cave. Not just us, but BT and Sal. Yep. Who else does shows here?
You could hear the Lugauer there.
The Lugauer's in here.
Does Big Mac do the show from our studio, or does he do it from the Boomer and Geo?
Big Mac definitely does. Keith, he likes the broken seat.
Keith's in there. Big Mac's in there. The weekend show.
Oh, so every show's in
basically
here.
Every single show besides Boomer and Geo is in this studio.
I have no problem with
it. So why don't we bring it in here so we can enjoy it? I'm sure Sal will like it. It's his stuff. Like it's not like anyone else brought it in.
Okay,
it was
now, Sean, take back all of that you said to Boomer so you don't get in trouble.
No, I'm not. Get in trouble.
Because he's not. He's not. It's moot because we're moving. It's not going to be out there.
Here's where I disagree with you. With all respect, Teague, I think you should put it back up because Sean wants to make his point. Let's see what happens.
Right.
If they throw it out, that's just a douche move to Sal.
And by the way,
if they don't throw it out, then we put it on the wall.
Get in trouble. Somebody else here touched somebody else's property they were nice enough to bring in. Boomer should be the one in trouble, not me. I'm taking a stand.
Yeah, he'll give you the $35 to pay for it after it's
nice. Tax write-off.
I think it's all funny. Like, I didn't understand why Boomer didn't like it. And I didn't understand why you were so angry.
To be honest, I've been on full tilt since the Giants lost, so I'm probably overreacting to a lot of stuff.
And you're taking it out on Boomer?
Yeah, so.
Beningo used to do that when the Jets would lose. And let me tell you about Boomer here. You know, Boomer, you weren't exactly my best quarterback, bro. You're still hiding under the rug in that Houston game.
Maybe that was
my imitation sucks. I apologize.
Maybe he didn't like the Bengals at the bottom of that standing board.
And to back Sean off here, and I'll couch it by saying I love Boomer and I owe my career to him. This isn't the Ritz-Carlton.
You don't owe your career to Boomer. You owe it more to Craig than Boomer.
Well, I'm part
and
of
even
the,
me.
I'm part of
owe
the
it more to me than
I'm
even
I'm part of the Boomer and Carton coaching tree. This isn't the Ritz-Carlton out here. It's not exactly like this is like some fancy place. So I don't understand. Like it really wasn't an eyesore. It wasn't.
Yeah, but the problem is it's right outside his studio.
So are 14 coffee stains on the carpet.
And a Summer's cigarette.
So what's your opinion? Where do you want to take?
Put it next to put it behind or on the wall for the CBS Sports Network studio.
Why? Why should they get it? What the hell do they do?
Nothing. It's also the Infinity Sports Network.
Whatever.
My vote is it should be in our studio.
Well, I did not know that.
Honestly, it's really up to Sal. It's his stuff. I think it's very cool that he brought that stuff in. Like, it's not mine. It's not yours. It's not anybody's. He brought it in.
It added character to the studios for when people come and visit.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. So hang it up. Anyhow, we'll come right back. We'll get into the Yankee lineup tonight, how they're going to handle the Jason Dominguez situation, something from last night that should really concern you, and we keep you posted on the New York Mets, who are about to get no-hit by the Blue Jays, and Francisco Lindor continued his MVP run, breaking out of his big batting slump with a bomb of a home run to tie the game at one. We will keep you posted on everything right here on The Fan. Busy Wednesday here in New York City. Certainly gave our thoughts on the emotion of this day, being the 23rd anniversary of 9/11. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to the top of the show. Mets are playing a day game in Toronto. They've come back on the Blue Jays, and they lead 3-1. Aaron Boone has an interesting decision to make, because the New York Yankees are taking on the Kansas City Royals in Game 3 of their three-game series, the rubber game, after getting completely shut down last night. Like, the Yankees didn't even have a rally. That's how bad their offense was last night. They didn't put a rally together. They got a leadoff hit from Gleyber Torres to start the game, and that was pretty much it. And the question I had coming into this game, in which Cole Reagan's a lefty, is on the mound, is how do they handle Jason Dominguez? Aaron Boone has said he's going to play every day, or play a lot. And Alex Verdugo was told his role was going to change. And last night we saw Verdugo on the bench. We saw Dominguez start. What do you do today? And the answer is bench Jason Dominguez. Mm. Jason Dominguez is not in the lineup against the left-hander. To give you kind of full context, Dominguez is a switch hitter. He is always a better hitter as a left-hand hitter. That's been the story of his minor league career as well. So his stronger side would be against a right-handed starter. But Alex Verdugo doesn't hit lefties either. So it's not like you've got yourself a great option. But Verdugo is in left, and Dominguez is sitting. The rest of the lineup is Gleyber, Soto, Judge. Jazz Chisholm is cleaning up with Giancarlo Stanton batting fifth. Verdugo six, Volpe seven, Anthony Rizzo eight, and Jose Trevino nine. Austin Wells sits lefty on the mound. Also the fact that he's a catcher. You know, playing him every day is very tough, as much as you want him every day. And the Yankees do not have an off day tomorrow. They begin their four-game series against the Boston Red Sox. So that's your Yankees starting lineup, which is, of course, always brought to you by Jersey Mike's. It's tough because there's no easy answer with how to handle this right now.
Like, to me, my gut would be, I'm playing Dominguez again.
Mm.
That'd be my gut.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna play him again. Look, no one hit yesterday, so I can't pick on him. But I'd probably roll him out there.
Right. Sean, give us the actual sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, Evan, that was a great read you did there. I just want to remind everybody, the Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
But here's what would concern me about last night. It's one baseball game, and that part is easy to kind of separate. But they got completely shut down by a pitcher who, if you face the Kansas City Royals in the playoffs, you will face in the playoffs in Seth Lugo.
Right.
And the problem was they got completely shut down, and it was reminiscent to the way they've been shut down in years past. By the way, the Mets have broken it open against the Blue Jays. Francisco Alvarez hit a 3-run home run, so they lead 6-1. A very impressive victory if they hold on. They were being no-hit into the 9th inning, which caused my hysteria. When Lindor hit the game-tying home run, and the Mets have responded. They've exploded on the Blue Jay bullpen. Francisco Alvarez, who needs to break out of it, maybe this is a sign he will, hits the 3-run home run off Genesis Cabrera, and it's 6-1 New York Mets. But that was the negative of last night, that it was a kind of an eerie familiarity to what happens to the Yankees in the postseason.
They get, for whatever reason, regardless of the opponent, their bats go silent. And again, I can't chalk it up to anything other than just an off night. Because they've been so good in moments that matters against good teams. Last night, they just weren't. And so it's one game, and they still have a chance to win the series. But let's not act like this team has been dominant for the last month and a half. This was the previous series. The one before this was the first one they've won in like four tries.
Yeah.
Or three tries, whatever it was. And so they've been inconsistent like this for a lot of the second half of the season. They're lucky, and we've talked about this multiple times, that the Baltimore Orioles are exactly the same.
Now, let's get to the why, because the why is very, very interesting, and it's going to need to change. Maybe not necessarily over the next few weeks. I do think winning the division is important, but the Orioles, like you said, Teek, have been so mediocre. Mm-hmm. The Yankees could win the division despite this mediocrity. But to win in the postseason, here's the thing that needs to change, and I came with statistics.
Okay,
I came with numbers that I researched earlier today. In the last 14 games, this goes back to their series that began against the Nationals. Aaron Judge is 10-for-51 with 0 home runs and 3 doubles. That's a batting average under 200. That's a 14-game streak without hitting a home run. That is merely 3 extra base hits in the last 14 games.
Right.
But I'm not done yet.
And we just got used to him being a masher.
It felt like
there was a stretch where it felt like every day or every other day, Aaron Judge was hitting a home run. And it's funny because this is not funny, but it's kind of tragic because in 2022, it was the same way. He hit 60-plus home runs, but if he had a bad day, nobody hit.
Well,
nobody scored.
Here's the difference. The difference is Juan Soto was on the team in 2024. Here's the problem. In that same stretch where Judge is 10-for-51, Soto is 11-for-52 with only 1 home run and 3 doubles. So they're 2 best hitters. Their 2 superstars have gone absolutely quiet over the last 2 weeks. The good news is the last 2 weeks are merely late August and early September.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens in October, and with Aaron Judge, that has happened in October, the Yankees will have a very, very difficult time winning. Because what you saw last night from Marcus Stroman, I'm about to defend him a little bit. That's okay. If you have an offense that mashes, you can win when your starter goes 5 1/3 innings, 3 runs. The problem is when you're getting completely shut down and your 2 best players are doing nothing, you can't give up 3 runs. But right now, that's the thing moving forward that has to change. Their 2 best offensive players can't be 10 for their last 51 and 11 for their last 52 over that same 14-game stretch.
Are you aware of the burgeoning curse in the Bronx right now?
Mm. The burgeoning curse in the Bronx.
Dogs was the theme of the Yankee season, right? When they were at the best, they were dogs.
Yes,
at the beginning,
they were stealing it from the Knicks.
Dogs are playing into the season again. Aaron Judge is hitting 188 with no home runs since appearing on Paw Patrol.
It's the Paw Patrol jinx?
Some are calling it the curse of Paw Patrol.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah, Yankee fans starting to worry a cartoon has ruined the season.
Wow. Mm. What's Juan Soto's excuse?
Well, he's a dog too, right?
So it's affecting everybody?
What was his character like?
I think he was himself.
No, he played himself.
Wait, so he was a cartoon?
Yeah. Aaron Judge, the cartoon, was helping out the pups.
Oh.
Yeah. Pups, at the time, it took place in May, were saving the Mets season.
That's how you know that you've made it, when you become a cartoon on Paw Patrol.
Oh, interesting. What about Wawa Wubsy?
What?
Wawa Wubsy?
What's that?
It's a cartoon.
I don't watch
it. Before your time?
Before my... Do my kids watch it?
Well, I know. They probably have not.
Well, that's the problem. Okay. You think I watch Paw Patrol? I watch Paw Patrol because my kids... Jed has grown out of it. He's 8 years old. Happy right. birthday, Jed. Spence still kind of likes it. So eventually you grow out of it, and then Dad's going to stop watching it. But in the meantime, I'm being supportive of my youngins. They watch Paw Patrol. I watch Paw Patrol.
All right. Well, I was in Wawa Wubsy.
Wawa Wubsy, when year did that come out?
I don't know, 2004, 5?
Oh, wow. Did A-Rod ever appear on Wawa Wubsy?
No.
Because that would have been the real jinx.
I'm looking at Aaron Judge's Paw Patrol. It's kind of cool.
It is cool, except that he's 10 for his last 51. Yeah, that's the uncool part.
But that's not why he's 10 for the last 51.
No, I think baseball is a streaky game, obviously.
Of course it's a streaky game, but when so stop looking for superstition.
I didn't say
the that. The nonsense was... superstition.
Keek, did I say that?
No, Sean did. Okay. I'm talking to Sean.
Yeah. I'm just saying that both guys slumping at the same time is a major problem.
Well, you know what that means. They're going to get hot at the same time in about 2 weeks.
That's a great way to look at it. Because, look, if Aaron Judge and Juan Soto are hitting their stride, and we've seen both of these guys dominate and carry an offense. Think back to April with Juan Soto. And I'm not saying that's the only time he did that, but Aaron Judge was so quiet, right? Aaron Judge had a terrible April. We sort of forget about that. And Juan Soto was carrying them. Like, he was unbelievable. And obviously, Aaron Judge, for months at a time, was doing his hand. Could you imagine a world where both of those guys are hitting at the exact same time? Like, I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily in early October, but that's the fantasy that you're hoping for. But last night was only concerning because their bugaboo postseason time has been being shut down by good starting pitching. And Cole Reagans is a good starting pitcher, too. So it's a little bit of a test tonight out at Yankee Stadium against the Royals, Luis Gil on the mound. Are you upset about Dominguez not playing, Sean?
Sort of. I'm not. He's got to be out in the lineup 3 of the 4 games versus Boston, and I won't lose my cool. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that he's going to sit a day a week. What I'm upset about, and I know this involves facing a lefty, when Austin Wells is going to sit in this lineup, the other 8 bats, to me, need to be the best bats in the lineup. And that's where I get angry at the double dip on the days off.
Well, but who's the best batter in the lineup that's not in the lineup tonight along with Austin Wells?
Dominguez.
Dominguez hasn't proven that yet.
Come on.
But he hasn't proven
Verdugo
that yet.
Verdugo is not. Just by virtue of not being Verdugo, you prove it.
I mean, Jason Dominguez is what, 1 for 10 as a Yankee?
Okay, he also created his own run.
I'm not dismissing what he's done. I'm saying, like, I don't think there's a sample size to say this is a clear secondary lineup.
Verdugo can't go sit 6 days. I understand all that. I'm just saying I would have preferred it tomorrow night. By the way, Doogie hits the Red Sox a little bit. Mm. I would have preferred it tomorrow night. I just don't like doubling up when Wells is going to sit that day of the week. That's all I'm saying.
I got you. Yankees play tomorrow night. They play 4 straight games against the Boston Red Sox. And right now their AL East race, kind of like the Mets wild card race, continues to be very, very close and very, very back and forth. And it's because, as you pointed out, Tiki, the Yankees have been mediocre, but so have the Baltimore Orioles. Yep. They have not been able to run away with it. They play the Red Sox later tonight. So we'll see if there's help. We'll see if the Yankees can extend their lead or if things stay the same.
This Disneyland drives me nuts, too. It's this late in the season. Everybody should have the same amount of games by now, same days off. I hate staring at that half a game. I guess it gets made up tomorrow, I hope. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, tomorrow night, the Orioles do not play. In fact, the Yankees play the Red Sox and no other like National League matchup that impacts the Mets. And the Oriole matchup, they're all off. So it's Yankees, Red Sox, and it's Bills, Dolphins. That's your night on a Thursday night. That's not a bad little night.
No.
Let's go to Shamir in Pennsylvania. How you doing today, Shamir?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. Good.
First time caller, long time listener.
I appreciate that.
I follow Tiki over here from his previous show. I got hooked on Deshaun Morash. So after the game.
Nice.
After the games, I'm listening to Sean's take on Odyssey, or I'm listening to his podcast. So, Sean, I'm with you. It was hard for me, too, but I had to let go of Daniel Jones. I don't think it's going to work. I think he's mentally broken. I'm on the grounds right here. I'm on the ground level, and you see the hate that has started in this fan base with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 27-year-old kid. I don't know how. Like, I listened to you guys play his take on the questions that he took earlier.
Right.
Those were great responses, but like, let's face reality, he's 27. Like, he can't even walk to get a burger without garbage. You know what I mean? Like, I've been known to be a Daniel Jones defender, but I don't see how he bounces back from this. Like, the very first incompletion, they're booing him. I think they're going to boom on the road now. Like, how do you bounce back from that?
Yeah, it's become a national thing. Like, the negativity has become a national thing. I don't think it was until this year.
No, well, also,
I don't know why, but it wasn't a national thing. Yeah. Now it's become a national thing.
Yeah, well, first of all, Hard Knocks made a national thing.
No, you're right. That's exactly what it was.
Yes. He basically got told on TV,
you're not good enough
to be
our guy.
We're looking to replace you.
Exactly. So now everybody knows that.
I think that I've heard this said a lot in baseball, that when a team is struggling, sometimes it's good to get on the road. I think the Giants playing back-to-back road games in Washington on Sunday, and I wouldn't be worried about fans booing because that's, who cares? Like, you're on the road. If fans are booing, you don't even know if it's Giant fans.
You kind of expect that.
Right. Even if it is Giant fans booing on the road, you just tell yourself that it's Washington fans. And then they go to Cleveland the week after that. And I think these 2 weeks against two teams, and I don't know about Cleveland. Like, as great as we thought their defense was going to be and still may be, they were so unimpressive in week one. And again, you try not to overreact to what you see, but it was bad.
Yeah.
Like, the Browns have the makings, especially with the way Deshaun Watson's playing, of one of those teams that you thought was going to be good that's literally awful.
Right. But so much of that game was also the ineffectiveness of the Browns' offense. And
yes.
How horrible they were. And now there's another distraction because the whole sexual assault thing is coming back up for Deshaun Watson. It just, I don't know, it just feels like that was one of the worst decisions because not just because he's not playing well, but you're kind of stuck with him, and it's such a distraction.
If you are
There's nothing
going,
else you want to talk about with the Browns except for Watson.
I hate to be very callous about this, but I think this is the reality and this is true. If you are going to bring in a guy who has those things he is accused of, and you never know if it's going to pop up again.
Yeah.
And this is the reality, as sad as this is. Some would say never bring a guy like that in. And that's fine. Maybe if I ran an organization, I wouldn't. But that guy better be amazing.
Yes.
You better not have the possibility that good.
You better forget about it because he's so good.
Yes.
And that's not the case.
That's not the case.
Because he's been hurt, and now he's been bad.
And he's regressing.
Yeah.
And I was reading about his cap. This is unbelievable. And I know the cap is fungible.
Yeah, but not hard. His isn't.
Not his.
So much of it is guaranteed.
His salary cap hit next year is $65 million. Same with the year after that. If they cut him, his cap hit next year would be $150 million that they could, if they wanted to, spread over 2 years.
Yeah.
The other thing is they could just restructure it, but I mean, how do you even do that?
But to restructure it, you got to make it longer.
Right. Which is worse.
Exactly.
But I'm sorry to get off on that, though. It is an interesting football discussion.
Yeah.
I do think it's important that they're playing two games on the road. That all of what Shamir mentioned about getting in his head, that it's good to be away. And maybe he can relax and play good football so that by the time he comes back for the Thursday night game against Dallas, fans aren't looking to boo every incomplete pass.
Well, he better be good on the road. Because if he does come back and they're bad, and say they lose and they're 0-3, it's not even going to take a bad pass for the boos to come out.
Well, I think it's why if he doesn't show marked improvement over the next 2 weeks, I don't think he makes it to Dallas.
Yeah.
To the Dallas game.
Right.
I don't even think he starts that Thursday night game.
I mean, only because it's a short week. Like, you're getting whoever, whether it's Drew Locke or Tommy DeVito.
So they would have to make the change Sunday before.
Yeah, it's just a really short week. And to make it the Sunday before, you'd have to do it after week two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's why the first quarter of the season was always the measuring stick for me. So I think he starts Dallas regardless, no matter what happens. But if he's bad against Dallas, now you have a long week to get, you know what I mean? Because you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then start the next game week with whoever the next quarterback's going to be. So it always made sense simply because how the schedule played out.
Just remember, last year, week two, Arizona, the team on life support, lifeless. Dable basically made a bold change and took away the play calling for a half.
Right.
Same time, same week last year, he did something drastic at a half when he realized the team needed a spark. Maybe, just maybe, if Jones is flat, that's why it happens at a half this year.
I'm getting this vibe. It's Wednesday. You know, Wednesday is when I start to get the vibes for Sunday, like the vibes on what I think is going to happen. And I hate doing this on this radio show because, I mean, I love working with you guys. But in your own different, unique ways, and I don't mean this as a rip on all of you, but you're all going to take it very meanly. Mm-hmm. I don't mean it that way. In your own ways, you're all giant homers, right? Hey, well, Kyle,
sure. I'm just telling you, I am.
You appreciate that because he's a legend. He's a giant legend.
I'm going to be fair to them, but I'm a giant homer. They're family to me.
See, I didn't insult Tiki, but these two I insulted.
No.
Watch this. Go. Yeah, what?
It's generational for me. Tiki's a player. We love this team and this organization.
No.
That is being a homer. So what?
Hold on a second. I love my teams and organizations too, but every time we make picks, and Tiki's admitted it, so again, he's not a problem here. You guys don't. Every time we make picks, you guys pick the Giants. Every single time. Mm. And so what I'm trying to tell you is my vibes are now starting to room to, you know what? DJ's going to play well. He has success against the Commanders. Jaden Daniels is going to run for his life. Brian Burns is going to have like his breakout Giant performance. Kayvon's going to, I can see the Giants winning. That's my vibe I'm getting on a Wednesday. And I'm thinking to myself, you're all going to end up saying the same damn thing on Friday anyway because you're a bunch of homers.
Right. I think they're going to be losing at the half, and Drew Lock's going to lead them back in the second half. I can already tell you that's where I think the game's going.
Wow. Washington's a kid brother. They've always been there. It's a get-right spot. Every single time the Giants are down, Washington seems to find them, and the Giants...
What?
No, I was just reacting to something I just saw.
You didn't finish your sentence.
I thought we got it by that.
Finish your sentence.
No, I just said that. It's a get-right spot, and it'll be that way on Sunday.
So all of you guys think the Giants are going to win, despite screaming and yelling that you got to sit the quarterback. Guys are unbelievable. Not you, Tiki, because you're not ready to sit the quarterback. But these two morons did a whole fight about Tommy DeVito.
You just said you weren't going to do name-calling, and then you called us two morons. After you called us homers.
No, hold on a second. As Tiki said, you're not morons. Your argument was moronic.
So then say that. Don't call us morons.
That is better.
It was morashic.
By the way, is it true that Joe Biden wore a Make America Great hat today?
Come on.
I've seen this on social media.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I think it's real. How about that? It's a unifying day.
Why?
I think he was trying to unify everybody and say, see, we're one country. It's 9/11. Let's be together.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. All right.
Good for him.